For May 19th, 2016, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Hey, everybody. It's the Lullabot Podcast at episode 187. I'm Matt Cleave, co-host of the Lullabot Podcast. With me, I have Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Mike, howdy. We're back from New Orleans. Or Nolens, right?
Nolens.
Nolens. DrupalCon Nolens. We're going to talk about our thoughts, our feelings, what we learned, kind of a retrospective of DrupalCon Nolens.
Wasn't there a band, 187, Blink 180?
Yeah, you're almost there. You're about five too many.
When we
recorded that one, there was a Blink 182 joke that was made before we were
probably recording. Five episodes ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It didn't make the final cut, though. It wasn't that funny. So with us here, if you haven't caught on, we have Jeff Robbins. Hey, Jeff. Jeff is co-founder of Lullabot, chairman of the board.
Hello, Lulla people.
He was at DrupalCon.
So next we have Mark Drummond. Front-end developer extraordinaire at Lullabot. How are you doing, Mark?
I just got back from the full DrupalCon experience and now have a bit of a cough.
You got
that part of it. That's part of the DrupalCon experience.
Yes, exactly. That's the full DrupalCon experience.
and just because Mike can't pronounce it, I'm going to introduce Helena Zubkow. How are you, Helena? Front-end developer
doing
at Lullabot.
Good, thanks.
Also a DrupalCon. Were you a flu survivor? Did you make it?
I did not get the flu. I could lick every handrail in New York and not get sick. I'm fine.
Yes.
All right. Next, we have Lullabot's chief operation officer, I believe, Seth Brown. How are you doing, Mr. Seth Brown?
Greetings. I am a victim of the Drupal flu, but doing pretty well at this point. And frankly, I don't want to point any fingers, but I'm pretty sure that Jeff Robbins was patient zero this year and brought the Drupal flu to DrupalCon.
I rule!
Of which I'm a victim.
I am the king of the flu. But it was really difficult to go to a Lullabot. Like, we had a Lullabot dinner on Monday night, and everyone, as they approached me, I had to say, "Do not hug me! I have the flu!" But Seth, very specifically, I remember very specifically at one point, I think it was during the Lullabot party, you said, "I don't care, I'm going to hug you anyway." And womp womp.
7 days later.
Way to go, Seth.
And a lot of NyQuil.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember taking a step backwards when you said that, so maybe that was the right decision.
I know I did a remote wave. But still got it.
So Seth would be patient one, because Seth hugged all of us.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also New Orleans, man. I wouldn't lick any handrails in that city.
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
Not licking anything in that city.
So, DrupalCon New Orleans, we're back. I know that there were some good sessions. A lot of people talk about the hallway track. There were definitely boffs or birds of a feather discussions that were good. And, you know, really a lot of really good talks with people who came to our booth or the Lullabot party. Seth Brown, why don't we start with you? Last intro'd, first to talk. What's your, first reaction from DrupalCon this year?
I was pleasantly surprised. I feel like it was a very well-trafficked DrupalCon in terms of the booths. The presentations that I saw were excellent. And I feel like there was just a general overarching feeling of renewed vigor in the community with the release of Drupal 8 being, I think, the obvious focal point for that. Everybody seemed re-inspired, and it kind of felt like DrupalCon 2 or 3 years ago. So it was, it was a good one.
I agree with that a lot about what you say, just like feeling inspired and like the energy and people doing new and different things. You know, there's so much, you know, like going into Austin and Los Angeles, we've had Drupal 7 for so long, and it's almost kind of like old and not interesting because people are doing the same old stuff, you know, so this was awesome.
I had a lot of people comment to the same effect that it felt relaxed. And, you know, people were excited and energetic about the things to go, but there wasn't this, like, looming deadline hanging over everybody. And I had a nice feel.
Yeah, Jeff, you've been to many DrupalCons throughout the years. Any reflections and comparisons to previous years?
I would just say, like, DrupalCon's kind of hitting its stride. That it's, you know, people just sort of know what to expect of it. I've always been a little bit critical of the fact that DrupalCon goes to different cities every year, and so you don't quite know what to expect of it, you know, the hotels where you're going to stay, the food that you're going to eat and stuff like that, as compared to something like South by Southwest, where you're like, you know, every time I go, I go to the same barbecue place and I, you know, can kind of look forward to it in that way and focus, you know, more on the content of the event rather than the sort of logistics. But, you know, all that being said, like, I think that there's still a fair amount of commonality between DrupalCons, and it feels like, you know, people have been around a while and they look for each other, and also, like, it's relatively, you know, warm towards new people. It's not, like, alienating and clicky. And I think I was talking to Seth about, you know, sort of, like, trying to understand sort of the demographic of, like, the people that come to DrupalCon. And it seems like as Drupal's getting more into the enterprise, we're seeing a lot of people who are sort of coming to DrupalCon because they've been told that it might be a good solution for them, but, you know, they're, like, work is paying for them to come, as opposed to in the, you know, years ago when, you know, it was just everyone was financing their own way because there weren't really a whole lot of companies who were, you know, supporting Drupal or supporting Drupal people. And so, you know, it's kind of changed flavor a bit over the years. But yeah, like I said, it sort of hit its stride more.
So, Mark, all of us old fogies have been talking about, you know, DrupalCon over the years, and this was your first introduction to DrupalCon. Was it everything you wanted and more?
Yes. Yeah. I had a really good first DrupalCon. So.
And to be clear, you've been involved with the Drupal community for quite a while now. So, you know.
I have. Yeah. But this was the first time I made it to a DrupalCon. And so it was great. I was there for the extended sprints on the weekends, so it was a very long week.
I think you probably had the longest week out of all of us. So you were there early for the sprints. You sprinted at the end of the
Saturday
conference.
Saturday to Sunday.
You gave three sessions at DrupalCon.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh my goodness.
It was a busy time, but lots of good discussions about moving front end development forward in Drupal. I went to a lot of sessions actually, and to kind of prep for one of the core conversations I helped with, and I meeting people too. I mean, that's, you know, that's really meeting people that I've seen in the queues but I've never met in person. That's really meaningful, to put a human, get the humanity in Drupal, right? That's hard to do just with reading text on a screen.
So besides meeting people, because that's kind of the default answer, what was your favorite part of DrupalCon?
My highlight was a couple months ago when we went to Chicago, we had this really good discussion about moving Drupal towards component-based theming. And when Dries gave his Dries note, he talked about that, about moving Drupal towards component-based theming. And so that was like a real highlight, to know that, you know, some discussions we had with some front-end people, like, bubbled up, and the community's interest in it, has interest in it, and it might be something that moves forward. It just felt, it felt really cool to know that, you know, we all can make a difference in Drupal and make new things happen. I was very excited by that.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you might not know it, but, like, that whole component-based theming, we have that in our podcast Trello board, so we can talk about it coming up too. So we'll see you on the podcast for, what, like, the 17th time coming up sometime soon.
I'll be glad to chat with you.
Cool. Helena, do you have any do you have any favorite parts of DrupalCon, or what was your thought with all that?
Probably the open container law in New Orleans.
Oh my god!
Yeah, that's
was,
a lie.
That was a little strange for us Americans. Yeah, the differences that are in New Orleans, and I had some Europeans make fun of me. They're like, "Yeah, you live in a third world country. That's normal." I don't know.
It was nice though, walking to a bar, like order a drink, and they're like, "Do you want that to go?" It's like, "Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. Fantastic. Make it a double to go."
New Orleans is a cool city. How about the conference?
Yeah.
Oh, right, the conference. Yeah, that happened too. Yeah, there were some really great sessions. The session that Catherine and David gave about accessibility was baller. It was so great. Like, I would fly somewhere to watch it again. And the parade, that was fun. Maybe we should always have a parade at DrupalCon, I think. So that was a blast.
And which session were you talking about? Was this the technical accessibility session that you mentioned before on the podcast?
It wasn't super technical, no.
And who were these people? Who were these presenters?
It was Catherine McNally and David Spira. And they gave a session. The slide should be up on the DrupalCon page, but I would recommend, if you missed it, to watch it, because it had a lot of really great ways to explain accessibility in ways that you wouldn't normally think of. So really, really, really great session.
That sounds pretty cool. We'll have to put that in our show notes.
And you, as the Accessibot these days, speaking about accessibility, it's really cool that you can still go out and learn something at DrupalCon, even if it's the similar topic that you guys are talking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love accessibility, but I'm always learning new things. It's always changing on me. So I have to keep learning.
How did your session go?
It went well. I mean, nobody threw anything, so I think it went well. I talked about the business end of accessibility and why it's a profitable venture for companies to do.
Yeah, sorry about not being there and throwing anything. I was trying to get something to throw to you, but I missed it.
I'm over it. It's okay.
Back to you, Seth Brown. What was your favorite part of New Orleans as a city?
One thing that I absolutely loved everything about New Orleans, particularly the fact that the venue was like 30 miles or so from the hotel, from the Marriott, and so it was a great week for Fitbit steps. But then I realized that everyone I was competing with on my Fitbit leaderboard was also at DrupalCon, so opportunity lost.
They were walking with you.
Yeah, they were next to me walking back and forth from said venue. So,
and for every one step you take, they get like two or three steps. Is that how it works?
Yeah, four or five steps for each step that I take. So
Seth is a very tall man. For those of you who are not watching the video portion of this podcast, because there is no video portion of this podcast, you will not know that Seth is very tall.
Yes, I'm that 6'9" guy. But as far as like, you know, my favorite part of the conference, I feel like the session quality was really high. I was particularly, this feels a little bit like tooting our own horn, but, I was very impressed with Jeff Eaton's talk, that he gave, and it was sort of the marriage of content strategy and modern content strategy practices, with design and, you know, how to deal with when you're, so it was called recoupling, I believe. And he was talking about this phenomena where when we decouple in sort of the NPR COPE model, which I think we've talked about on previous podcasts, where you attempt to build an API, a pure gated, you know, ivory tower API that makes no assumptions about the presentation layer. Like, your API is this pristine and perfect thing that will later be polluted by front-end implementations, but the API itself doesn't know anything about the front-end and doesn't have to. And Jeff is coming around to the view, which I think is the right view, that actually there's a lot of things such as priority and hierarchy and where something might live in a collection and how it relates to other things in the database. Those types of things, which actually are often design decisions, really need some way to be represented on the back end, so that when we do have refrigerators and smart toasters and desktops and, you know, mobile apps that are bringing this data in from these APIs, they will have information and context about how to actually display data. So Jeff had some great examples in there. I know we'll post a link to his talk, but he's always a dynamic speaker, and I think he's actually right at the head of something that we're trying to figure out as a community, because Drupal is a fantastic CMS, coupled or decoupled. But when it's decoupled, I think there's things that you do need to think about as far as how data is going to actually be used and presented on the front end. And Jeff did a really good job of pushing that forward.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. He is a fantastic speaker, too.
So, Mike, before you get too far away, you also gave a session, or you had a presentation. Tell me about how you felt that went.
Oh, man, I think it went really well. I was kind of nervous as I was getting up there toward the end because, you know, the internet died out, and of course it was a full-on live presentation with examples and everything like that.
Standing room only.
It was.
Yeah.
That room was packed.
Yeah, so browser-based development tools, that was your session?
Yeah, yeah, in browser-based development tools. So basically I was a lot of tips and tricks with Chrome developer tools, and I went into just like how to debug, how to profile your site, how to identify and resolve issues. And it was really cool. One of the things that I did that I thought was kind of funny, you know, and it kind of broke everything up a little bit, is I left my Twitter app open on purpose and I told people to heckle me live. So if you pull up the video,
don't try this at home, folks.
Yeah, you can kind of see those coming in. It was pretty good. I got a whole bunch of great feedback on it, though. So I was pretty stoked about that.
You were pretty stone cold. Like, I tried a couple of times, and you barely even noticed that I tweeted you. So,
well, you know what? I was in the zone. You know,
we heard many good things about your session, Mike.
So, Mark Drummond, since we're talking about sessions, you had three of those frickin' things.
I did. Well,
kind of.
Two of them were co-presentations.
Yeah.
I had one main session that I gave that was about responsive images, in which all of my slides were cat photos. And, or all the slides that had images had cat photos in them.
That's the purpose of the internet, right? To display cat photos.
Right, yeah. Right. No, I talked about how, you know, Al Gore had, when he invented the internet, called up Tim Berners-Lee and, asked him to make sure that he could share cat photos with the internet. And at first, Tim Berners-Lee could only provide, you know, text descriptions of cat photos, but later Netscape introduced the image tag, and then we could actually share cat photos, and thus that's when the internet really took off.
And your session was about how to make those cat photos look very beautiful, regardless of how they're being displayed on, you know.
It was to make them both beautiful and how to make them load quickly. So it was a performance talk, front-end performance talk, about how you make images flexible so that they'll work great if they're on a large screen or a small screen. So.
And your other two?
Right. So then Matthew Tift and Karen Stevenson and I gave a talk about amping up Drupal, which was about our work with the new AMP format. That is also something that helps your web pages load very quickly on mobile, especially with articles and blog posts. And we talked about what AMP is and then how you can get it working with Drupal, because that's what we've been working on the last couple months is putting together some tools that let that work with Drupal, hopefully in a fairly easy way.
And then there was a core conversation as well, right?
Yeah. So then we had a core conversation about Drupal admin as an application, more JavaScript in core, which was about the whole discussion about should we put a JavaScript framework in core or other JavaScript things that are not necessarily a framework. And so Preston Stowe and I kind of had a back and forth on that, and we had a good solid discussion. We had met at mid-camp and had some really solid talks about maybe there's some alternatives to frameworks to make this happen. There was a lot of sessions at DrupalCon that were kind of demos of different things that could be related to that. Angular, there was a demo on how you could make Angular work in conjunction with Drupal. And there was another one that was about Ember, and that was a really impressive demonstration about using Ember to enhance some of the admin things. And so we had a really good solid talk about it, and then had a good discussion in the room afterwards, and kind of the consensus seemed to be that what we should really focus on is improving our REST APIs first and getting those very, very solid, and that it's perhaps too soon to talk about putting a JavaScript framework in core when there's a lot of uncertainty and we need some other tools in the back end like that, and maybe component-based naming as well.
And to be fair, those that's your opinion, right?
That was the consensus of the room. I mean, not everybody in the room agreed with that, but there was a lot of people in the room that that discussed that. There's some other lullabots there that were talking about API first. And there's certainly still a desire to put a JavaScript framework in core by some people. I'm not sure that the community interest is there. One of the things we talked about was it was clear from the demonstrations that most of these for server-side rendering, you need Node for that, the way that most of these frameworks are designed right now. And that poses some issues if we try to do something with Node, with Drupal core. So, anyways, interesting discussion.
The best part about the sessions at DrupalCon is that they're all recorded. And everybody can go on the website, the DrupalCon website, and watch the video and kind of go back and maybe pick up the sessions that you missed. So we're going to talk about the other stuff that happens at DrupalCon that isn't a session, and we'll talk about some of the future of DrupalCon coming up right after this. CEO and co-founder Matt Westgate from Lullabot, hi.
Hey.
You were at DrupalCon as well.
I was. What a DrupalCon it was.
It was great. We hung out at the booth together. You were pitching Tugboat, showing it off.
Yeah, it was great. It's a product that we've been working on for a couple of years. We actually did a podcast about it about a month or so ago, and had a really good experience. We just managed to get some new features in under the wire just in time for DrupalCon, and we added an interactive terminal, so command line access now for every one of the preview environments that people have. It's awesome. I was actually doing demos on my iPhone because it's a responsive design, and you can pop open a terminal and get in there and all that sort of stuff. But the real big winner at DrupalCon was probably the visual regression testing that we put in. So not even needing to actually click and see a build, you actually see the before and then the after, and then analysis of what changed. So that was the big winner at DrupalCon.
Yeah, that's amazing, especially for a front-end developer who might be making some changes and might touch some CSS that they didn't intend to touch, and then all of a sudden your website screwed up. Tugboat can help prevent that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the idea. Development still feels like a black box, you know, where the developer has to go away and work on their own local and build, and then wait for the show and tell demo at the end of the sprint, and then say, is this what you want? And so we just want to change all that. We want to make sure that everybody has a voice in the development process, and even the non-technical team can stay engaged to what's going on. So that's the idea. We lowered our prices, so we've got an introductory tier now to Tugboat. It previously was $9.99. We now have prices at $5.99, and we're geared towards teams, so there's no limit to the number of users that you have on your project. We just want you to make sure that you can dive in and get started, and every installation that we do is the same base installation, but it's a custom build. So we actually work with you to make sure we understand the needs of your project. If you need something custom set up, if you need a custom container, or you're already using Docker, those are the kind of projects that we love to get started.
So if somebody wants more information, they should check out tugboat.qa.
Yep, and we've got an interactive demo there, so you can go click on the demo link. You can fork a repository, create a pull request, and watch Tugboat in action.
And it's fast.
It's very fast.
What I enjoy about Tugboat is you create the pull request and boom, before you know it, it's there, ready for you.
Yeah, yeah, and that needed to happen because everybody wants to share work as it's happening, and so most builds for our Drupal sites happen in 30 seconds or less.
And you said you're talking about our Drupal sites. Tugboat also works WordPress anything, yep. Right?
WordPress, anything, any PHP site or anything that runs on Linux and at the end of the day makes a website.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, so welcome back to the Lullabot podcast. We're talking about DrupalCon New Orleans, which by all accounts on Twitter was the absolute best DrupalCon ever in the history of DrupalCon.
At least since the last DrupalCon. Yeah.
How many people were at DrupalCon in New Orleans? Do we have a count?
I think the estimate was like 3,100.
Yeah, it was like 3,167 or something like that, if my memory is correct, which is not. So there were a lot of cool things in DrupalCon besides sessions, obviously. There's a lot of cool parties, and something before that is summits. So, Seth, you went to the business summit, is that correct?
I did, yeah. It's the second year in a row for me going to the business summit. We also had a couple of Lullabots attend the media and publishing summit. And some consensus around that. The summits are a great networking opportunity, you know, a great chance to sort of have conversations with your peers within a certain vertical or industry. For the business summit, it was a lot of, I would say, the preponderance of people were leaders of smaller agencies in the range of 10 to 15 people, some even smaller than that, and then a few of the sort of usual suspects among the larger agencies. It's a great opportunity to have, you know, intimate conversations, break up into groups, have speakers. I think they could stand to be a little bit shorter. It's a pretty long day. The business summit started at 8 and didn't wrap up until 5, and you have lunch in the room. So I would maybe cut that in half and focus a little bit more on, you know, just seeding the topics ahead of time and breaking into groups right away, because I think that's the real value, is sort of the networking and the meeting people within the field. But yeah, the talks were good, and it is a nice sort of lesser known aspect of DrupalCon. It's also the day when all of the trainings take place. So
what goes on during the business summit? I mean, do you guys just sit around and just
CD
talk about
deals,
stocks and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
You know.
it's kind of an information sharing. I don't know if you've heard of OwnerCamp that the Bureau of Digital Affairs puts on, that sort of gathering of agency owners in various desirable locations. Jeff just got back from one, I think, recently in Puerto Rico. But the business summit is sort of attempts to be a one-day version of that. So bringing together leaders within digital agencies to kind of talk about the challenges of running an agency. And I got to give a talk on mindful leadership with ease. So that was my topic. But the topics were assigned. It was a little bit last minute this year because the original facilitator dropped out at the last minute, and Susan Rust had to take over organizing the event the Wednesday before DrupalCon. So the event was on Monday. That's a pretty tight timeline to organize event, find your speakers, you know, all of that sort of thing. So kudos to Susan for rolling with such a crazy schedule. But it's great, but it could be shorter.
Fantastic. So what about BOFs? Did anyone attend any BOFs that they found interesting?
I feel obligated to explain what the word BOF means to listeners. Can anyone explain that?
Yeah. Well, I can explain it, but not outside the scope of Drupal. BOF is a birds of a feather discussion that happens during the normal presentations. Maybe you look at the list of presentations and say, there's not anything I want to hear about. Mike Herschel's talk seems to bore me, so we move on and we go down to the there's a big whiteboard of topics and rooms, and if there's a topic on the whiteboard that you want to learn more about, or maybe you have some opinions on and you want to learn something, you can go to that room and talk with like-minded people and, you know, talk about that topic. Birds of a feather. Boff.
Flock together.
I suppose they do.
So ad hoc sessions.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not a big fan. So maybe in the old school Drupal days, this was my first introduction to BOFs, and they were organized in a much more ad hoc manner. It was you know, a whiteboard and you went and wrote on the whiteboard. But it seems that now they're, you know, reserved days in advance and it's this, the schedule's kind of set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're allowed to reserve them through the events.drupal.org website now, and I don't, maybe they opened that up a couple weeks before or whatever.
Yeah.
But there is still a whiteboard. Maybe it's a combination of the two, you know, because I don't think all the slots fill up beforehand.
I think that when I saw the board, it was always filled up, so I don't know. That was kind of a letdown. I went to a BOF, though, that I really enjoyed. So Mikey went with me, actually. It was one of those situations where it's like, I don't know that I want to see anything that's going right now, so let's look at the BOF board. And there was one called Confused Site Builders Looking to Party. And I thought,
that's great.
I thought, that sounds like fun. So I went down there and turned out it was just some people building a site and they were looking for help or maybe wanted some suggestions. And it was kind of a different perspective that I hadn't seen in a long time. So I've been on some projects that have been pretty long running recently. And they're in the situation where they've been websites now for years and it's kind of a maintenance mode kind of thing and less about site building. So it was kind of interesting to kind of hear the problems that people were coming up with building their new Drupal sites and which module should I use for this? And yeah, it was kind of refreshing to hear that.
Yeah, I went to a BOF, and I think the BOF that I ended up in was after a core conversation talking about the user experience process within Drupal core or within contrib development. And so we had a number of people kind of pop in talking about, you know, well, what if I have a UX thing and I want to push it through and I want to get this into core or into a module? Another thing is, like, if you're a contrib developer of a module, how do you get some UX feedback on stuff? What UX tools we can use for that type of discussion? And you know, there's a whole bunch of issues, and as like everybody knows, Drupal's UX, you know, it came a hell of a long way, but it's just not, it's not there. And I think a lot of that is just the nature of Drupal, but it still could be a lot improved. Anyone else, Helena or Mark, did you guys check out any BOFs that you got any value out of?
No. I found out that the BOF that I would have really liked to have gone to happened 2 hours after it happened. So I didn't have to attend it. Yeah, someone mentioned it. They're like, oh, were you at that BOF? And I was like, what? No. Aww.
Maybe that's why they're organized in advance.
Yeah, apparently so. Turns out if you look at the full schedule, it does not list the BOFs. You have to go into the BOF section of the schedule.
Yeah, it's separate.
In the evenings after each day of DrupalCon concludes, there are often parties. So did anybody go to any good parties around town?
I went to a couple good parties. Of course, the best party, of course, as is every year, is the Lullabot party. I had a lot of fun at that.
The Lullabot party version 8?
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was at the Ace Hotel. It was a cool location. And it was just fun, you know. I got to hang out with a number of clients. I got to meet like a couple core developers that I hadn't met before, which was a lot of fun. And then just, of course, just drinking beer and just hanging out was a lot of fun. But in addition to that, I ended up going to the MediaCurrent LingoTech party the night before, and that was a lot of fun. It was crowded for the space.
Awesome. So, Jeff, you've been around for all of the Lullabot parties. Any thoughts about this year's Lullabot party? I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was a great great venue. Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing with the Lullabot parties is they're never, you know, there's not, like, fire-breathing dancers or...
No flamethrowers.
Giant, yeah, you know, or, like, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, people with their... parties, it's just like this sort of spectacle, but at Lullabot, really, it's more about just kind of creating an atmosphere where people can come, and whether they know people from Lullabot and want to see them again, or don't know anybody at DrupalCon, you know, to try and create an atmosphere where, you know, people are just kind of hanging out and talking, and it's friendly and stuff like that. my band has played a few of the the Lullabot events over the years, which technically goes against everything I said, because then there's a loud band playing and you can't talk. But
you know, I was honestly just thinking that, Jeff, but I didn't want to call you out on this. I'm glad you called yourself out.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, you know, it was pretty chill, nice atmosphere. We had some good food and yeah, you know, and an opportunity to hand out yet more Lullabot floppy disk party invitations, which is we started that actually at the very first Lullabot party that we did at DrupalCon DC, which was this was the eighth party that we've done. So, yeah. You know, 8 years ago. Yeah, so we have a harder and harder time each year trying to find floppy disks to hand out. But I think Haley has a giant. She, like, last time we just bought, like, you know, 6,000 of them or something, and she's in her garage, has all these floppy disks piled up in a corner. And then we.
I saw somebody tried to put it into a computer. This
yeah.
Year. It was like not formatted. And
yeah.
Let's go back and remember about floppy disks. Floppy disks, you could store 1.4 megabytes of content on.
Yes.
And in order to transfer, to copy or read or import, more importantly, write to an entire floppy disk would take probably 15, 20 minutes or so. You know, yeah. So, yes, they were not even formatted.
It's a little sad that most web pages would not fit on
web images wouldn't fit on.
Unless you're using responsive images.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
There would be a what is it called? A media handler for floppy disk.
Right.
At media. A media query for floppy disk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Greg Dunlap is going to put King's Quest 2 on all the floppy disks.
That would be good.
That was such a good game.
But Jeff, I saw your response to that tweet, and I'm sure I'm not saying this right. Is just like, well, you should have checked last year, because this is the first year we actually didn't have anything on there.
And that's what I will tell everyone about every year. Yes, we've never put anything on the floppy disks because it's a big pain in the butt. But every year we go like, we should put something on this. It would be funny. But you know, an Easter egg that like one person would
you know, when people were grabbing them from me, I was telling them that it was a macro virus for Word 97.
There's actually a coupon code on one of them for a free Lullabot website.
You get a tour of the chocolate factory if you find just the right floppy disk.
Yeah. There's a golden floppy disk that you can
use. So, hey, we had some other swag, right?
I was just going to say, we also handed out VR headsets, Google Cardboard, and those were hot.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
So just to give everybody who didn't attend DrupalCon a background on this, Lullabot made some awesome Google Cardboard-esque VR headsets, and so basically you assemble them. You can put in your smartphone. You go to vr.lullabot.com and you put it up, and you have a VR experience with, I think it's
You're
a
living
team photo.
In another world. It transports you across the universe, a very short distance across the universe, to standing amongst the Lullabot team. But it's a web page, you know. And we can put anything there. Maybe we'll change it up in the future.
And it's pretty cool, too.
Put 3D King's Quest in there.
Yeah.
My daughter gets a huge kick out of it. She's 3.5, and she kept asking me, like, I want to see a new picture, Daddy. And, kept showing new VR things. She really enjoyed it.
Yeah, my kids love it. Awesome. We put the Google Cardboard app on, and there are different things you can do. It's like, I want to try virtual bowling. And I was like, yeah, I already tried it. It's not that good. You should try these other three things because they're really cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing some experimentation with VR stuff at Lullabot, and particularly sort of thinking about that intersection between content and VR. You know, so much VR stuff that's happening these days is kind of in the gaming space. And historically, there's been kind of a, you know, it's kind of clear the difference between the web and gaming programming. You know, there's the gaming programmers and then there's the web programmers, and there's not a lot of overlap. But the VR stuff, it seems like, I don't know, there's some just sort of interesting overlap and sort of problem sets. And certainly we're coming at it from the web programmer perspective, and the gaming programmers kind of have an edge on the VR market at this point. But we're trying to figure it out. And we've got a few people at Lullabot who are doing some fun and interesting stuff with VR, and we'd love to do more of it. And we thought it'd be fun to hand out Google Cardboards. They're popular.
Yeah, I can say I think it's one it was the best swag at DrupalCon, and I'm just not saying that because I'm a Lullabot, but it was pretty sweet.
Yeah. They weren't just Google Cardboards. They had the awesome red robot on it. Like,
yeah.
The graphic work that went into designing it was
awesome.
Yeah.
So, and it's
huge shout out to Dave Burns and Jared Bittner, who really drove making that happen with
Dave Burns in particular, who was negotiating with manufacturers in China
and
to figure out the Chinese yen, is it the yen there versus the dollar, and you know, fascinating study.
Picking up things on the pallets and
yeah, I remember seeing his statuses where he was like, all right, it's going through customs, it's doing this, it's on the shipping containers or something like that, and of course it arrived in New Orleans maybe the day before DrupalCon, you know, because that's the way everything always works out.
If there wasn't a deadline, it would still be a dream.
Yep, exactly.
Otherwise, we'd be on this podcast saying, we've got 3,000 VR headsets. If anybody wants one, tweet us. but we're out, so you can tweet us. We'd still love to hear from you, but we don't have any more VR headsets right now. But we know how to get more, apparently. And we know the exchange rates.
We just have to wait for them to be shipped on the boat, yeah.
who all went to trivia night? I went to trivia night, and I know Mark Drummond was at the table.
Yeah, I was right there with you, Mike.
So. Yeah, I went.
You did? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, Mark and I should have won. The other teams, I'm pretty sure, somehow cheated.
You know, I'm pretty sure they didn't. Because, Mike, I was at trivia night, and because all of my friends left me and I didn't have a team, I went up to the front and I said, hey, can I help out? And they said, sure. So I became a judge, and it was fun. I got to mark all of your answers wrong.
Mark, I think I understand what happened now.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Well, Mark, I mean, Matt marked all of our answers wrong.
Oh, Matt did. You're not saying that I wrote down the answers wrong.
No. You're fantastic. Okay. And you were you were extra fantastic because this is your first DrupalCon, which means we got extra points for you.
Yeah. Well, we got extra points for Chris Albrecht on our team because it was his first trivia night.
Yeah.
But apparently you don't get extra points for playing with a handicap and having less than 5 people on your team, which I thought we should have gotten extra points for.
If you would have said, Matt, you know, maybe you could join my team, then I would have been on your team and we would have won, and then Mike wouldn't have got all of his answers marked wrong and his team would have gotten second.
Oh, I remember that.
It was really fun though, and it was a great venue. It was in part of the World War II.
I was just going to say that.
Planes hanging over us. There were tanks outside. It was amazing.
So let's talk about next year. So we knew this going in here, but like DrupalCon Baltimore, right?
You knew that.
I knew that.
How did you know that?
He got the inside scoop.
No, I was told by Sally Young, so you can blame her. I don't know how she found out.
I might have told her.
It goes around.
So have you guys seen the movie Wayne's World?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to be honest here. So Wayne and Garth are at the new TV studio, right? And they're trying out the blue screen, right? And they're chroma keying like postcards from these fabulous destinations behind them. And they're pretending they're there. They're like, hey, we're going to Texas. They're like, hey, howdy, y'all. We're in Texas. And then they're like, hey, we're going to be in Colorado. And they're like, yeah, man, we're going to go skiing in Colorado. It's great. And then it's like, we're in Delaware. And they're like, hey, it's Delaware. And that's kind of how I felt about Baltimore. But maybe Baltimore is going to be great. I don't know.
So
Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Maryland. Get your geography.
I know. Right. It was just a similar feeling. I understand they're different states. Like.
So anyway, I'm going to tell you why I'm stoked about it. So
convince me.
Let me even preface this by saying, like, when they announced New Orleans, I was like, yeah, you know, New Orleans, you know, I'm not too excited about it. But honestly, I think it was maybe the second funnest DrupalCon I've ever been to, with the first maybe being Bogota. I'm excited about Baltimore because it makes a lot of sense, honestly. You know, it's within easy travel distance for all the Northeast, you know, including Washington, D.C., with all the government Drupal sites. It's within mass transit of all the cool Washington, D.C. Museums and everything like that. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, the Air and Space Museum there, and I'm definitely going to be arriving early or staying late to check that out. But the cool thing is about it is it's going to be a little bit cheaper for the DA to host it in Baltimore. At least I'm assuming so, you know. And the DA, of course, makes money off of DrupalCon, which I use to fund Drupal.org and a lot of great initiatives that makes Drupal happen, and all that's super important. So if they can save money, that makes Drupal better. So all in all, I think it's an awesome win. But that's my opinion.
I heard they have good barbecue in Baltimore.
Good seafood.
Yeah,
good waterfront area. Yeah.
Those are good
things. I think the DA just picks cities that are prominently featured in HBO crime dramas. So, like, The Wire, you know.
It's about the funniest thing I've heard.
Well, I've watched The Wire, and I've listened to Serial, so I now understand Baltimore, right?
Well, that means that the next European DrupalCon is going to be in Rome, right?
Ooh, that would be awesome. Is there a Drupal community in Rome? I'm guessing there's got to be.
I don't know. I'm just...
Drupal community everywhere.
But I'm really like I'm a little bit nervous if we go to DrupalCon Westeros. That's
so one thing that I thought was unique about DrupalCon was, you know, obviously the version change. You know, Drupal 8 is out. People are excited about it. That also meant the end of life for Drupal 6. And in New Orleans, when you talk about end of life, you have a funeral in a unique sort of way. So the funeral parade, I guess.
Second line.
Yeah, it was cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't attend that, but I saw a video, and it looked pretty neat.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. You know, dance and band and, you know, walking down the street, going to the final event. It was fun. It was definitely unique.
People had, like, big signboards. Sally was Lindy hopping around with some guy. Derek from Media Current was, like, dancing, like, with the band. He was, like, ska skanking around. It was really fun.
So with that ended DrupalCon. Does anyone have anything they want to add?
I just wanted to mention too that Friday there was the mentoring day, the core mentoring day for new people getting involved, and that was really fun. I helped out with mentoring on that, and just some really really awesome people worked to put that together, and it gave people a new chance to learn about how to contribute to Drupal and, you know, a safe environment where they're kind of just people to help you out. And I thought that was really cool. And then at the end of the day, then they had a live commit where they showed, you know, somebody's work from that day getting committed to Drupal. That was a fun day.
I guess I would describe the Drupal community as passionate yet nice.
Yeah.
The Drupal community is pretty amazing.
Come for the code, stay for the community.
Absolutely.
Mike Herschel, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, as I said earlier, when DrupalCon New Orleans was announced, I wasn't super enthusiastic. I wasn't unenthusiastic. But honestly, it was fantastic. You know, I want to give a huge shout out to everyone at the Drupal Association that put this together. Holy cow, like the amount of work that goes into this. I'm an organizer of Florida Drupal Camp. And even we have it easy because we have the same location every year, which makes everything super easy for us. For like something that's like, I don't know, 1/20th of the size. And the amount of work that goes into that, the professionalism, the awesomeness, everything comes together. And it just feels like it's just operating and it's smooth. You know, you feel so much really, so much energy coming in from, you know, the Drupal community, Drupal A, and all these new technologies and stuff like that. And it's just so refreshing. Like, I go to Drupal cons and you come back and you're like, I just want to get to work. I just want to work on Drupal 8, you know, and it's just so exciting. So, anyway, everyone at the Drupal Association that has a hand in this and all the sponsors, including Lullabot, that was a platinum sponsor, I believe, and everyone else, just thank you, because this was awesome.
Yeah. I think we should give a shout-out to Holly Ross, who's been the executive director for the Drupal Association, and she just announced that she's going to be stepping down. This will be her last DrupalCon that she's helped to manage. And she's just done a fantastic job at the DA. And the person who will fill her shoes, I'm sure, will do a wonderful job as well. But, she's been a really good influence on Drupal.
Hat tip to Holly.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nolan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can edit out this awkward silence, correct?